We were talking to Dr. Jeremy Smith, who is a lecturer at the Foundation University, which was originally the Ballarat University. And today we're going to talk about Lynn Beaton, who many of you might have known, used to do the program with me. And in a way, it's a eulogy, but also exploring her fantastic work she did in Ballarat. And Dr. Jeremy Smith was her supervisor. So welcome to 3CR, Jeremy.
Thanks, Lali. Nice to be talking to you this afternoon.
Mm. And let's start off with why this project actually started, because Lynn started to do a PhD, really, before she unfortunately passed away recently. Work on the history of the trades hall in Ballarat, is that correct?
That's right. I mean, originally the work came out of an agreement that followed negotiations between Ballarat Trades Hall and, well, particularly the Faculty of Education and Arts at the university. So originally in the negotiations between particularly Brett Edgington as Secretary of Ballarat Trades Hall and staff from the faculty, you know, we identified that there was a need to do some really robust historical research into what is actually quite a proud history of the Trades and Labour Council. And some of it has to do with, you know, resuscitating the stories of the lives and struggles of working-class people in Ballarat and the Western region. Some of it was about establishing a connection, a lineage, if you like, to the Eureka Rebellion, and if you like, telling a story, a history of the Red Eureka side of things. That is, you know, how the working class in Ballarat, you know, contributed to building society, and the struggles that working class people undertook. And some of it was about establishing how important Ballarat as a region was in the formation of the labour movement in Australia, and some of the evidence that suggests that its importance, in fact, could be greater than has been historically understood.
I just wanted to say, what triggered this proposal by Ballarat Trades Hall in the first place?
I think it was perhaps just partly the vision of Brett Edgington as secretary. It was also the vision provided by Ethan McCaw, the late Ethan McCaw, who was then the Ballarat president, the Ballarat Trades Hall president, who also happened to be the NTU organiser and who I had worked with very closely for a number of years when I was union president at Ballarat. So I think it was just sort of a few people getting together and just really discussing what was kind of missing. And Brett Edgington's got a pretty significant understanding and appreciation for the history of histories in this particular country and in this particular land, and the contribution of the working class to Ballarat's history in particular. So, I mean, I think just that vision really enabled Ballarat Trades Hall to identify the need for some solid historical research. And just when the forces of Ballarat Trades Hall combined with some good people from our faculty, the general view that emerged was that, you know, there was a possibility for an agreement and funding and some good research to take place.
So it was a joint project between Ballarat Trades Hall and the Federation University, yeah?
It was, and it took the form of, I mean, there was a memorandum of understanding and agreement which and underpinned all of this and made it all quite possible. So there was a signed agreement between the university and Trades Hall. With the agreement in place, we could advertise that there were PhDs, dedicated PhDs made available, and that there would in fact be scholarship funding attached to them. So we put out a call for expressions of interest, etc. Lynn's was a successful one. Lynn applied, and she outlined her personal history as a Labor historian and as an activist in the union movement and the workers' movement. And, you know, it was a pretty it was deemed a pretty appealing expression of interest. So after a proper process, she was awarded a place in the PhD program with a scholarship. So this was fairly significant news, and I'd lost track of the process a bit myself, but then I was approached to consider acting as principal supervisor, and I knew Lynn by reputation. You know, when I was approached, I had a look at what she was proposing to do and immediately accepted, and that was the beginning of a research journey together in which I was able to see Lynn conduct some fabulous research and to really get a great PhD started and a very solid, I would say, 15 months' work under her belt before she unfortunately passed away.
And she's always been a writer, hasn't she? She's produced many documents, and she even wrote a book on the miners' struggles in the UK during the Thatcher period. So there was a solid history behind the sort of work she was doing. Was amazing.
It was indeed, and she talked a lot about her time in England, and it was a very emotional time, as you could well imagine, very emotional time. But it was also, you know, one of rich experiences of a very militant working class struggle, and she was able to, you know, capture some of those that story for an Australian audience.
So how far did she get in conjunction with the research, and the revelations were interesting as far as you're concerned? Can you fill us in? I mean, given that Ballarat's got an amazing labour history anyway, so perhaps we could do a little bit of brief summary of what it was. Of course, the Eureka Rebellion is a typical one we talk about. So what was the research going into?
I think there were really three prongs to the research work that she'd achieved over the time that she'd been in the PhD program. The first one was to examine some of the material environment of Trades Hall itself. And the building itself is rather a significant and interesting building. I mean, the first thing to note about it is that it's in Camp Street, Ballarat, which, of course, was the government camp during the Eureka Rebellion. In fact, if anything, it was the heart of the colonial government in Ballarat. So the fact that the Trades Hall was established there in the heart of what was actually still the official representation of the high end of town in 19th century Ballarat was an important toehold geographically for working class organisation in Ballarat. So it was very deliberately chosen that Ballarat Trades Hall would be in fact in Camp Street, and the building itself has the physical environment actually has a significant amount of the history of events involving the Trades and Labour Council built into it. So she was actually really starting to unpick this and different aspects of the building and its structure and the different historical events that those aspects were connected with. An important part of this, naturally, was the flag. Ballarat Trades Hall has its own Eureka flag, which was made in 1944. And it was a very important part of reviving the Eureka tradition and, in fact, reviving public displays of the Eureka flag. It was one of the early public displays of the Eureka flag in the 20th century. So there was a long period of quietude around the whole Eureka tradition and around the events. There was a public shame associated with Eureka in Ballarat, in fact, for some time after events took place. So reviving it and reviving it, you know, with a rebel spirit of working class struggle was a very, very important episode it was immediately post-war history in Ballarat, and Trades Hall was really critical to this, as one of the longest standing trades and labour councils in Australia. It's the first part of her research anyway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Ballarat, you know, in some quarters is known as the place where the process of democracy originated. But I'm sure not everybody will agree with that. So what was the second part of the research? You said there were three prongs to it.
Yeah, so the second part was, in fact, what she discovered about the 1873 riots and this in Clunes. And this was an early episode in Western Victorian history, that is, Western Victorian Labor history. It's often been remembered as an anti-Chinese race riot, but in fact what Lynn's research was expressly going to show was that, in fact, it was actually a very complex industrial conflict where there was a picket line and where scab labour, and it happened in this case to be mostly Chinese scab labour, was used to break that picket line. And rather than it being just simply an episode of working-class white racism towards the Chinese, in fact, it was much more complex, and it was actually really an industrial struggle around the eight-hour week. And Lynn's research was uncovering quite significant evidence, including on-site evidence in Clunes, which demonstrated just how important this was as an industrial conflict in contributing to the 8 hours movement at that stage, which was really the foundational movement of trade unions at that time anyway in Victoria and in Australia. And just how important Clunes and Ballarat were at that time in just making breakthroughs in the struggle for generalising the 8 hour day. That was an important small bit of research.
Was there other strikes where Chinese labour was used as scab labour within Ballarat?
Not in Ballarat, not to the best of my knowledge at that time. And it was the strike at Clunes, which was the critical episode. It was very important in the region, but that doesn't necessarily figure in Australian national history and the bigger history of democracy, which tends to forget, you know, this important region of struggle. So I'm not aware of scab labour being used in Ballarat more generally at that point. So I mean, that I suppose another complex dimension of the particular episode in question.
And I mean, generally what people understand is that there were Chinese migrants who came in to mine gold. That's generally the impression people get when you visit the gold mines in Ballarat, the tourist attraction now. That's a sort of history you get. You don't get the use of Chinese labour as scab labour by the employers. And, you know, I was just thinking as you're speaking, not much has changed these days, has it? They're still bagging the Chinese. It almost rolls into racism, doesn't it? The way it's presented and discussed and the way it pans out in many quarters, it sort of spills over into that arena. And then you have to unpick the details of that. And obviously Lynn was doing a good job there unpicking that aspect of that particular labour struggle. Okay, what about third prong, Jeremy? What was that approach?
Okay, so the third prong was that Lynn was really starting to dig into the archives, particularly the Noel Butlin archives, as they're known, which includes, amongst other things, minutes of 8 hours committee, early documents of the Ballarat Trades and Labour Council, and a number of other documents covering initiatives of the Ballarat Trades and Labour Council. So these documents contain, if you like, the raw materials of what the Trades and Labour Council was doing in its early days and what the spirit and tenor of the times were. There is in there actually a set of minutes which arguably could be seen to be a document that was establishing something like the rules of the Australian Labor Party, or rather one of the Australian Labor Parties as they were back then. And in fact, actually, that meeting took place a full 2 months before the meeting at Barcaldine, which formulated the initiative for the Labor Party. So, I mean, there's kind of even a historical argument that what was going on in Ballarat and in the Ballarat Trades and Labor Council was formative, obviously, for the trade union movement as a whole in Australia. But possibly there could also be a case that what was going on was formative for the Labor Party. So, I mean, obviously there's some historical and heritage interest in that second latter side. One thing that Lynn, I think, was particularly keen on, as indeed I was as supervisor, was establishing the independent, an independent history for the labour movement in Ballarat, for the trade union movement, and to show that the trade union movement had dynamics of its own and had a history of its own that was separate from later developments around the Labor Party. Nonetheless, there is a bit of a heritage question there about the extent to which the Ballarat trade unions contributed to the formation of the Labor Party. So this was another side to it as well that was coming out in the third prong of the research, and that was to look specifically in the archives for the documents around those early years of Ballarat Trades and Labor Council. So it was going to feed into the other two prongs as time went on. Unfortunately, that's something that, for tragic reasons, has been cut short.
So do you think this project will continue? You'll find another person to continue this project?
Look, we hope so. I mean, we just had some preliminary informal chats at this stage about it, you know, the people who are concerned, and we want to wait for an appropriate period of time before we look at some further discussions around how to continue the work that was at the start of the project. And, you know, we'll obviously need to review the agreement between the university and Ballarat Trades and Labor Council. But I know there's a spirit of willingness, certainly on the side of the Ballarat Trades and Labor Council, to continue the partnership with the university and the research that Lynn did begin. And certainly for my part, I'm committed on remaining involved, and everybody I've spoken to at the university, on the university side, all the major people who have been involved in managing this so far are still very keen to do it. And I think once time has passed, then we would start to look around for fresh PhD candidates to continue the work. And I think that's an important way to remember Lynn too, and the commitment she showed to it in the fabulous research she did in the very last period of her extremely rich life.
The reason I brought up a continuation of the project and what you're doing is because you mentioned heritage, the element there. Now, you also mentioned that you might be considering putting in a heritage claim on the building to the UN. Oh, am I wrong? Just fill us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so there is interest within Trades Hall, and indeed from people who are involved in Australian history at Federation University, there is interest on both sides in a claim to UNESCO, in particular, around the heritage value of the Trades Hall building in Camp Street in Ballarat. There's also a bit of interest, certainly from Trades Hall, around the minutes of the Ballarat Trades and Labor Council, the early minutes in particular, and whether this is a heritage document of listable value and something that contributed to Australian political history by providing formative ideas around the Labor Party. So there's really, if you like, two things that might go in for a UNESCO listing. And one is certainly the building, and there's a general feeling about that. The other one is the question of the 1890s minutes and whether the value, the political value in terms of those minutes contributing to the formation of the Labor Party can be established sufficiently for a heritage listing. So, I mean, there's a couple of questions there. We've got experts who know things about putting in heritage applications to UNESCO who can help with this. So should the work resume, should it reach a certain point, then I think, you know, that kind of campaign for a heritage listing could go ahead, which would be indeed, I think, a good campaign for this institution of working class organisation in Australia.
And we'll put Lynn's name in good stead and a record of her, you know, enormous contribution to the labor movement in more than one aspect. And in this particular one, it'll be etched at the UNESCO level if it just happens and is finalized. That'll be exciting.
It sure would be. Yeah.
Mm. But thank you so much, Jeremy. And this is, in a way, a eulogy to Lynn. I just wanted to do it differently because many people have spoken, and even at a memorial, lots of people contributed. But, you know, this is to show that the quality and the amount of work she's done throughout her life is amazing. And this is, I guess, the crescendo, in a sense. If she had completed it, it would have been better. But nevertheless, her name will live on in the form of this contribution she's partially made to this research. And thank you so much for talking to 3CR, Jeremy, about your involvement with Lynn's work and the supervision. And certainly adding further richness to the labor history of Ballarat.
Yeah, a pleasure, Lali. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Bye.
Bye.